Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today is the last Sunday in the church year. Out with the old, in with the new. Next Sunday, we begin our new church year with the first Sunday in Advent. In the middle this week, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word, receive His gifts, and fix our eyes on the guarantee of everlasting life with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. Thanks be to God. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 514, "The Bridegroom Soon Will Call Us." Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Please note that on our hymn of the day, the sermon hymn, the traditional hymn for centuries on this day, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying," the children's choir will sing verse 1, and then the congregation will join in with verses 2 and 3. The propers for the day are on the inside of the bulletin. Readings are on the back page. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of Jesus. Heavenly Father, He is our rock, our anchor, our certainty. Everything in the world seems to be spinning out of control at times, and yet you have given us a sure and certain hope in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Heavenly Father, help us to keep awake and to stay sober, so that the message of your word, the message of forgiveness, the message of the gospel full and free would guide us, shape us, and be our life now and forever. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us. Amen. Amen. Hymn 514.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit as it's printed in the bulletin. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace to men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, absolve your people from their offenses, that from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our frailty we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your bountiful goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Isaiah chapter 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the appointed gradual as found in the bulletin.
In many colored robes, the king's daughter is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness,
the epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 192.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
As we sing our hymn of the day, 516, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying." A reminder, the children's choir will sing the first verse, the congregation joining in verses 2 and 3.
Awake, awake, for night is flying.
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning on this last Sunday of the church year, the epistle reading that we heard a few moments ago, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, wake, awake, for night is flying. Last Sunday of the church year, right? We have to get in at least one end of the world, the sky is falling kind of a sermon, right? You've come to expect it. Year after year, as the church year winds down, and then we get a couple more weeks as the church year picks up. Stay awake. Stay alert. You never know the day or the hour. The end is near. Almost seems cartoonish, doesn't it? Chicken Little, the sky is falling. The boy who cries wolf. Is that what the church is doing? Trying to get in on that end of the world craze and hysteria? A new way to generate a few extra bucks or a little extra church attendance? Kind of scare people into their Christian clothes? Heaven forbid. So there's nothing new under the sun. Some of my earliest memories regarding the end of the world took place in parochial school. When I was in parochial school, probably about 9 years old or so, the Six-Day War broke out. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it after church. All we talked about in school was this was it. This was the Battle of Armageddon. The world was coming to an end. You better get ready. But it wasn't the end of the world, was it? And then a few years later, in parochial school, all we heard about was civil war in Nigeria and a little country that doesn't even exist anymore, Biafra. Oh, maybe you've heard about starving Biafrans, but you didn't know what it was all about. Again, Google it after church. It's all we heard about. After all, Adam and Eve probably came from Nigeria. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the end. Repent. Wake up. The end is near. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It's really the same message we hear on cable news 24/7. If you're up in the middle of the night watching an old TV show, those are the commercials you see, right? It's the end of the world. Look at all these starving people. Look at all these starving animals. We need to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and then the end will come. Sheer nonsense. God's word is clear. No one knows the day or the hour. Do you get that? No one knows the day or the hour. I can't tell you how many dozen times in my short lifetime somebody has predicted the end of the world, and that date has come and gone. And then they either give a new date. More often, a long list of excuses. No one knows the day or the hour. Do you hear that? No matter what calculations you make, you cannot discern when Christ comes again. You cannot discern the day of your own death. You can't. God's word is clear. Death or the second coming of Christ, whichever one comes first for each one of us, will come like a thief in the night. Is that message to scare you? Well, of course not. That message is to get you ready, to help you prepare, to show you the importance of being ready. Or as the words of our text for today, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Keep awake and be sober. These words are very clear from the Apostle Paul to the people at Thessalonica, who had kind of an end of the world fetish anyway. Those words, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are for each one of us as well. Now, Paul is not teaching us that we should never sleep or sleep with one eye open. Of course not. That's silly. That's ludicrous. Paul says, keep sober. Then he goes on and on about this light and darkness, night and day. These are word pictures, my friend. Generally, we work during the day. Generally, we sleep at night. Generally, if we're going to party, or if we're going to do something that we don't want anyone else to see, we do it under the cover of darkness. These are word pictures that God has given us. To be children of the light is to be a Christian, is to walk in the light of Jesus, who is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. How do you know that Jesus is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome? Because he overcame darkness. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame the grave for you. What is it about the end of the world stuff that makes us so afraid? We're afraid to die. We're afraid to die. Paul says, you want to live in that kind of death? That means you're a child of darkness. Jesus has overcome the darkness. Be a child. Be a son and daughter. Be mature in the light of Christ. So, Paul starts out, and this 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-11 is really the conclusion of the last few verses in 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about the resurrection of the flesh on the last day. Words that we read at the graveside committal. People who have died are not going to miss out on the second coming of Christ. Okay, you've told us about those who have died. What about us who are still alive? We need a message for ourselves right here and right now. And this is it. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. You hear that? You have no need to have anything written to you about the end of the world, the days and the seasons. Why? Because God's word is clear. If you've been listening to God's word, if you read God's word, if you meditate on God's word, if you hear sermons preached on God's word, you know all this stuff. Paul goes on, and he does write, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall asleep. Sometimes we get drunk. Oh, I suppose it could be staying out late at night and carousing and getting physically drunk with alcohol or drugs. But that's not really what Paul is warning us against. What are the things that drug us? What are the things that we get intoxicated on? What are the things that we have a hard time staying away and keeping our biblical sobriety? Well, for the last 8 or 9 months, we've been drunk on the plague. That's all we think about. That's all we talk about. How long will it last? Will there be a virus or a vaccine? All we think about, we are drunk with the plague. Is this going to be the end of the world? But it doesn't stop there, does it? For the last 4 years and longer, we've been drunk with politics. 24/7. On the right, on the left, then the election. Who's the president? We don't know. We're drunk. We're drunk with politics. We can't be sober and listen to the word of God because we keep imbibing on all the other things. And it's not just the coronavirus or politics. We're drunk on chaos. We've got anarchy going on in certain parts of our country, from Philadelphia to Portland, even in Kenosha and downtown Lincoln. So what should we do? Thin blue line? Support the police or defund them and reimagine everything? We're drunk. We're drunk with anarchy and chaos. Doesn't end there either, does it? What happened in March with the incoming of the plague? The stock market nosedive down. How am I going to retire? Am I going to keep my paycheck? What's going to happen to small business? Oh, we better get that small business loan. I better get my stimulus check in the mail. We're drunk with finances and economics. Who's going to pay the debt? And it goes on and on and on. My friends, science is a gift from God. And yet many of us have been drunk on science. We can quote statistics on the reliability of testing or social distancing or masks. And we can't quote the catechism or the Bible. We have become intoxicated, freely imbibing of all these things. And Paul says, stay awake. Stay sober. Listen to the word of God. Stay awake and repent of your false gods and your false idols. Remember who you are. You are the baptized children of God. You have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. You are children of the light, not children of darkness. Listen to the voice of the one who overcame darkness, Jesus Christ, for you. Paul says it this way: for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. God wants no one to perish. God wants no one to spend an eternity in hell. That's why He sent Jesus. He sends out preachers to proclaim the gospel, not to scare people out of hell, but to win them and woo them for heaven. He delivers Good Friday and Easter to you in the baptismal font. He puts the resurrected body and blood of Jesus in your lips to strengthen your faith and fix your eyes on Jesus. He sends you a preacher to call you to repentance when you're tempted to get drunk on the things of this world and to give you the life-giving, life-changing elixir of life, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. Paul tells us that we should put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope. Faith, hope, love. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. A helmet and a breastplate are defensive weapons. Why? Because the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh are trying to tear you out of the nail-scarred hands of Jesus into the fires of hell. The devil, the world, and our flesh are shooting flaming arrows at your head and your heart to kill your faith. We put on a helmet and a breastplate to protect our head and heart, because when our head or heart are wounded, death can be close behind. The breastplate of faith, faith receives the Word of God. Faith receives the Bible, the gospel. Faith receives, and love gives. Faith towards you, and love toward those around us. We pray after we have received Christ's body and blood. The helmet protects us from the punches that life keeps giving. We're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. That is real. Our family and our friends are separated. That is real. We have a lot of political and economic uncertainty. That is real. Just when everything seems to be going pretty well, maybe you get laid off from your job, or somebody breaks into your garage. That's real. And then out of the blue, your loved one dies. And that's real. My friends, the helmet protects us from the vicious blows that this world gives. The vicious blows that makes us punch drunk because we've taken so many. The helmet is the Word of God, which protects us and gives us hope. Hope for a future. Hope knowing that this world isn't the end and we don't have to cling so tightly to the things of this world. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. We have hope. Hope, not like, well, you know, we hope the Huskers get good again someday. No, a hope that is a guarantee. The guarantee of the forgiveness of sins. The guarantee of life everlasting. The guarantee of being face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus, still bearing the scars that prove His love on His hands and feet. My friends, we, in the midst of all the stuff that the world brings us, we are to encourage one another, to build one another up, not to tear down. Get out of your social media echo chamber. Get on the phone and call one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a lot of people who are afraid. Encourage them. Send them a card or a note. We have some people that are drunk on the things of this world and they don't even know it. Love them enough to invite them back to church, to turn on the radio or YouTube, and to hear, and by the grace of God, believe the Word of God, which brings hope, which breaks us children of the day. My friends, this message for the last Sunday in the church year is not a message for the last Sunday in the church year exclusively. It's for every day that you draw breath. Stay awake. Keep sober. We don't know when Christ is coming back. We can't know. We don't know the day we're going to die. We can't know. But one thing we know for sure and certain, Christ is coming. And He's coming not to judge you, but to save you and to take you to the mansion prepared since the beginning of time. Before we talked about staying awake, God's Word is not saying stay awake 24/7. What He's saying is sleep at peace so that whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, the sleep of your bedroom or the sleep of death, you know where you are, safe in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus. When you go to bed at night, how can you sleep peacefully? Well, you probably lock the door or set the alarm or know that if something happens, you can call 911. My friends, you're much more safe than that. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. God has sent His angels to guard and protect you. And you have the Word of God, the promise of God that says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always to the very end of time. My friends, stay awake. Keep sober. Sleep well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our gift-giving God never tires of giving gifts to his children. He gives us a new heart so that we can believe his word. Truly, stay awake and keep sober. It's this new heart and new life that we thank God for in our offertory. Please stand, page 192.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my spirit within me. Cast me out away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God gives us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the educational institutions of our synod, for our preschools, our day schools, our high schools, our colleges and universities, and for all our seminaries and the students in these schools, that those who teach and those who learn in them would be transformed by the wisdom of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast that is to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who have wandered away from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use the word and sacrament to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and all who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity in the performance of their responsibilities and valued service through their vocations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, or underemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who are sick, especially those in our own midst, including Barb, Pastor Russert, Susie, Marta, the Schmeckel family, Kelly, Daryl, Mildred, Jim, Lynn, John, Char, Andrea, and all others whom we name in our hearts. That God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ourselves, that we may remember that Christ is coming back, and he will come back to take us to be with him in his kingdom, world without end, and that we may rejoice at his coming and enter his kingdom without fear. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, knowing that he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 922.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, encourage you to do so on the way out. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Also, all of our special services, Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas program, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, everything's in there, and so a handy little guide. Members of the congregation got a letter from the Finance Committee a week or so ago. Hopefully you got that, and there was a something to put on the refrigerator or bulletin board or whatever with all of the services in one handy spot as well. Kids, great job with Wake Awake for Night is Flying. You have to do it one more time, though. We'll make you do it at the 10:30 service. It was great. And the kids will be doing a lot of singing our third Wednesday in Advent. That'll be our kind of quasi-Christmas program in this unusual and strange year. No midweek or confirmation this Wednesday. Wednesday evening at 6:30, we'll have our Thanksgiving Eve service, and it'll be the same service repeated on Thanksgiving Day at 9 o'clock. So you'll be able to spread out, and we pray that God will bless us. That will technically be the last worship service of our church year. Next Sunday, first Sunday in Advent, and we pray God's blessings on that as well. Our mission for this month is the St. Philip Mission Society in South Africa. There's newsletters and envelopes there to encourage and help us support that mission. We've got Bible study in the fellowship hall. We've got a couple of other rooms set up for overflow. So we have lots of room, and we'll continue our study of the divine worship service. Pastor, what am I forgetting? Are you going to Seward tonight?
No.
You're on break?
Yep.
Okay. When is the big deer feed that you're going to put on for the congregation?
Yeah, if you would like some deer meat, we probably could find you a little bit if you want.
He's the tightest person in the history of the world with his precious game that he has killed.
I have four kids to feed. I know how far it'll go.
They're tiny. They're tiny. All right. We'll dismiss. Good to have you back. We'll dismiss from the back to the front. It's a pretty nice day outside. If you want to stand around and visit, go outside and do it. Be respectful of everybody's space. Blessed Thanksgiving. Have a great day and week in the name of Jesus.